Cruz, good morning.
Hey.
Hey, so we're going to try and take this for a second time now, since the first time didn't work very well. There's a few different topics we wanted to follow up on, but in the interest of time and keeping this short, the discussion for today is actually going to revolve around an old episode of Let's Fix Things. I think, or it may have been Dark Side of Design, but we've crossed and we've discussed it on both podcasts. The idea that, do I need friends in real life if all my friends are digital? And we discussed this years ago. And I think even recently we made reference to it on the podcast as well. And this came from the idea that because personally I travel so much, I have friends all over the world that I don't get to see very often. And so the premise was, does it matter if I'm really talking to a friend or could I just talk to their bot, right? Do I really need people who are alive or do I just need some sort of connection?
And I think it has extra relevance now with us all being stuck and 99% of my contact is digital, right?
Exactly. And so last week, I had a long conversation with one of our other designers, Bessie, and she asked me, because I mentioned I was feeling a little lonely. And she said, well, you brought this up years ago. Did you need real friends if all your friends are digital? Have you changed your opinion on that? And that's what I thought was interesting to talk about today, right? Because we have over years and years gone so much to digital friendship, and yet this entire pandemic is forcing us to be only digital, but we are seeing more people being lonely and feeling disconnected. And so that's what I wanted to explore today. So Cruz, I'm going to start just by asking you, you live with your wife, so you do have somebody else around you, but how have you, over the past few months, how have you experienced your online life? How have you experienced connecting with friends, and what's been the feelings around that?
So yeah, I have been living with my wife in a tiny Amsterdam apartment. So as far as seeing people, still happens every day, every hour, fine on that. But all of the contact with my friends has been digital. And I do notice a difference. There's these ups and downs in when people talk and how they react. And you notice that people kind of get into a couple of days of not talking and then a couple of days of talking a lot. And these waves are really fun to see.
So when you have conversations, do you find that you talk to people as much as you normally would?
I find that my conversations have moved to random times and they seem longer, as in my digital chat conversations with some friends can now happen during work time because I'm at home. I can actually just talk back to these people just like I'm talking to my colleagues, which is something I would never do if I'm in the office around other people. I would be like, no, I'm available for the people here. But since now both the office and my friends come through the same channels, I can be equally available. And since work hours are a bit more flexible, I don't feel like I'm wasting precious time during work hours anymore.
Do you find that connections with your friends have grown weaker or stronger? Or probably both. I don't know.
Yeah. It's definitely sort of, how do you call that? Separating the corn? No, that's a Dutch thing.
Separating the corn? No, we don't have that in English.
No, but like you have friends that you talked less with that now completely phase out during this. And there's friends that I used to talk more with that are now even getting stronger because the way that chat works, basically whenever you open a chat window, you see what you were previously talking about. So you kind of have a better memory of what you talked about last the moment a new conversation starts. So there seems to be more continuity of topics, more checking in with those same people. So there are some upsides to the form of communication.
So I've really thought about it because over the last few weeks, I have felt like I have been more lonely and I've tried to figure out why, because most of my life I've been perfectly fine being alone. I travel all the time and I'm alone. When I grew up, a lot of times it was alone. When I've lived in Amsterdam, a good chunk of that has been alone. So all of a sudden, why was I having these feelings? And I think it was a few things. Number one, because I'm not traveling anymore, I have the same routine every day. And that starts to wear you down a little bit when you're used to having different routines all the time because you're always on the road. All of a sudden, you feel like you're not moving. You're not making any forward momentum. And so I think that gave me a bit of a different feeling. And the other part is that because I'm not in the studio, because everything is digital at the moment, I don't have the time to talk to people as I normally would. And so all of a sudden I start to question, like, am I really providing value to the work that I'm doing? Am I really providing value to the company? Am I really, does it matter that I'm here? Right back to that question of, does it matter if any of us are here? If I'm talking to Chus, if I'm talking to you, or if I'm talking to a bot that is representing you, it just made me have this whole feeling of, do I matter? Does it matter that I'm here? Does it matter if you're talking to me or if you're just talking to a representation of me that was a bot? And I think all of that just sort of got me in this cycle of, oh man, like, is something worthwhile? Am I doing anything worthwhile? And I know it's a really sort of obtuse way to connect all these topics, but it's been interesting to really explore this and think all of a sudden, when I have the same context that I had before of being alone, why do I feel different now?
I find it very interesting that you're actually connecting those topics, because now it's like, but what if I'm the bot? It's a very Westworld kind of approach to this, where you no longer even know if it really matters that you're there or not. And it's kind of interesting, because I've been noticing that I've been creating lots and lots of stuff digitally to make sure that the team that I'm working with has everything that they need to go ahead. So I've been helping out with schedules, task lists, basically designs in files with good annotations, hyperlinks, hooking everything up between all these different digital platforms that we're using with the client. But I don't know if people actually read them or appreciate them. So the opposite is true. Like, I know that from my point of view, I'm creating lots and lots of things, but I don't know if they hit home, because everybody has to, what we call, work out loud. And not everybody is good at that.
I mean, you do realize that working from home or being home changes so many facets of life that I don't think we've discussed, right? It's not just that you're sitting at the same space. It's not that you are maybe with your kids all the time, but at least for me, there's this fundamental aspect of do things matter? And a good example of this is, Chus, I was in the office last week with Matthias, and we were going over a presentation, and I just said, Matthias is one of the other creative directors in the studio. I said, Matthias, what would my feedback be on this? And he thought about it, and he basically rattled off the exact questions that I would ask, because he already knew. We've been working together for so long, and I always ask the same things. So again, you know, could you just message Joe, you know, bot Joe, and say, bot Joe, what are your normal questions that you would ask? That pops up. Like, do I need to be there? Do I need to exist? Or could a bot do something just as well? And the same way as I talk to all of my friends, you know, people in the US, people in Malaysia, people in Philippines, am I reaching out to talk to them because I want to really engage in a deep conversation? Or am I reaching out because I'm bored, it's the morning, I'm having a coffee, and I've gotten so used to just, you know, doing different things, and I'm just like, hey, what's going on? Like, hey, I hope you have a good day. And you want that proof of life, right? You want someone to say, like, oh yeah, I'll message you back because you matter, right? So this whole thing is now all of a sudden this existential question of, now that I'm not going to the office, now that I'm not doing something, does that expose part of my life that all of a sudden gives me this existential threat of, do I even matter as a person? And when I message people during the day, is that like giving me some sort of validation when people return a message that, oh yeah, I matter. Somebody took a moment to say something to me. Like, it breaks my head. I feel like I need to read Nietzsche or something.
That might help. But I do think, with the example of Matthias already knowing what you were going to say, that's, I think what matters there is he knows what you're going to say. He says it out loud, but then on your face, he can see if he was right. And then in your voice of what you say after, he can sense if it's important or not. There's so much more than the literal meaning of the words that you get from an actual person that we don't get from bots or rules or checklists. And that second or third interaction is much more. There's much more in there. And that's why I'm happy that this whole lockdown situation is happening in a time where we actually have high bandwidth connections and good video chat, because at least we're not dependent on text. We're not all writers, you know?
No, and that's a really interesting thought, is all the nonverbal communication, right? I remember one of our presentation coaches who was in here was talking, you know, of what you're talking about. It was something ridiculous, like only 10% of the words that you use is what matters. Your body language, your facial expression, the tone of your voice, how you deliver things is really how people absorb the message. And so, yeah, just to your point, you know, maybe that's the problem. Maybe if I had video of my friends, if I was doing more video with them, I would feel more connected. And to that point, one of the things that I have found so incredibly soothing, we've brought this up before, is watching Lena, our podcast editor, play games on Twitch. It is absolutely soothing to me. And she'll play for, you know, maybe 3 or 4 hours after work. I'll log on, I'll put the browser on the side of my computer, and I'll just have it open. And it feels like I'm in an office. I have someone's voice behind me. I mean, obviously, she's not just talking to me. She's just narrating the game. But all of a sudden, you feel like there is this proof of life. Somebody is next to you. And I think that's also part of it, is now when we go outside, when we walk through the grocery stores, people avoid each other. And even though I like being alone, even though I like having my space, probably much more than anyone really realizes, I like, you know, just being by myself, but I don't like the idea that all of a sudden, as a community, we have become afraid of each other, that somehow we have to avoid each other. That feels awkward, even to me.
Yeah, what I think is interesting about the Twitch streaming example is that all the communication we talked about before is you and I being on video or you chatting with your friends is all purposeful and directed. But that's not all social interaction we have. Social interaction can also me being annoyed by somebody eating in a weird way that I'm not even talking to, you know? But even then there's interaction, and that interaction can just be a look for me at that person like, hey. And so we're really used to all this social interaction and to knowing that we're okay, you know? Like my cat cannot chat, right? He can not be on video chat and have a conversation. But I can have a conversation with my cat. I can read when he's annoyed. I can read when he's happy. I can read when he wants something. There's so much more than what we're putting into text in communication.
Imagine if text did that though, right? We, for some reason, somehow in 30 years and 40 years, I'm looking at WhatsApp on my screen right now, and it is pretty much the exact same thing. The biggest thing that WhatsApp introduced, or really that messaging has introduced, that has meant anything is red receipts. And it seems to me like red receipts have caused a lot more fights than they have. But right. So my girlfriend's going to just leave me on red, huh? Oh man. Now, you know, there's a fight coming now. and so, you know, what really happens if all of a sudden we all have cameras? I mean, we have cameras on right now where we're talking to each other. If that camera you could turn on some sort of sentiment analysis. Is that the right word that I'm thinking of, where it's like the camera could assess my face and then make the text appear in a certain way, whether that's color, whether that's size, in the same way that when I speak to you, I emphasize certain words. If even, you know, it, but of course the problem is I'm typing words, I'm not dictating. I'm just trying to think if things continue to go down this text route, which I imagine they will, is there a way to make text richer, number one? And now this is where I'm going back, tying it back into design. When we go into virtual reality or augmented reality, and I have that hologram of you, or I have your avatar in virtual reality, how do you carry through those nonverbal communications? Like in the same way that I do my hand gestures, does a computer, does it use machine learning to classify the types of hand gestures I'm learning? And then it analyzes my voice, and based on my voice, it's going to pair it with a hand gesture in virtual reality. Like, there's just so many design challenges out there, and yet red receipts.
Yeah, exactly. I think the technology is all there, right? We have browser plugins that can read happy, sad faces. Like that's code that's already 10 years old in a way. That code, together with analyzing what you're typing when you're typing it, it could definitely color the text, make it bold, do whatever. But maybe you're missing the fact that every platform that we're using is out there to be as successful as the other, not as successful and new. As in, WhatsApp doesn't care about being innovative. It cares about being used by as many people as possible in the simplest way possible. And I think we're ready for some experiments. I think it would be really cool to see a new chat client come up that does something like this. It's technically it's all there. We just have to hook it up and see how it works.
Well, perhaps when we have some bench time, we can explore that, make a few prototypes, try something out. We're over our 15-minute mark, so I think we can wrap it up for this week.
Yep.
We can probably continue it for next week because there's still a lot to explore. But yeah, good talking to you, and catch up again next week.
Thanks, man. Bye.
Cool. Later.